day and welcome to today's Population Health Commission paper conference. Please note today's call is being recorded. If you have a question or comment at any time, please press star 1. Ms. Alisa Montali, your line is open.
Thanks, Dave. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this conference call for the Population Health Steering Committee. My name is Alisa Montali, and I'm the Senior Project Manager for Population Health. Also on the call are my colleagues, Helen Bernstein and Kristen Chandler. I'd also like to introduce and welcome one of the committee's co-chairs, Kurt Stange. But before I turn over the presentation to Kurt, I'd like to go over a few overview and background slides. Today, the steering committee will review submitted comments on the commission paper for Population Health and the subsequent responses from the paper's authors. Following the committee's discussion, we will open up the lines for others who wish to make comments, and then we'll conclude with some brief next steps. So now we're on slide 3, and if you've joined us before on conversations related to the paper, you've probably seen this slide, but I wanted to reiterate some of this information today. Because this is our first consensus development project that is primarily focused on population health performance measurement, NQF commissioned the Public Health Institute and the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health to develop a background paper. In this effort, we've been working very closely with Don Jacobson and Stephen Teutsch, who are the authors, and they're also participating on the call today. The paper is part of our foundational work that has helped to inform the current call for population health measures. We opened that call last week on April 2nd, and the call will remain open through May 1st. In this paper, what Don and Steve have done is to present analytic frameworks for measuring and assessing population health, the determinants of health, and improvement activities. They also present an environmental scan of existing population and community level measures, as well as gap analysis. They also discuss the synergy between the clinical care system and the public health system, while also outlining methodological issues related to measure development, and they conclude the paper with overall recommendations. And so during the commenting period, what we did prior to that is the steering committee provided initial feedback on the first draft of the paper, and that revised paper was posted to the NQF website on March 13th, and it remained on there through the 27th of March for member and public comment. And during that period, we asked for general comments on the paper, and we asked specifically if the list of recommendations for defining key concepts and related rationale were appropriate or comprehensive. We also asked the commenters to provide feedback on the conceptual frameworks and whether or not these selected frameworks provide a comprehensive snapshot from integrated approach to measuring total population health, the determinants of health, the health improvement activities across clinical care and government public health systems. We also asked about the challenges and opportunities to align health improvement activities and measurement, and specifically if there were additional challenges or unintended consequences with data collection, data sharing, emerging of methods for integrated population health assessment, prioritization models, and the need for integrated quality reporting. And all of these categories mirror the sections in the paper that Don and Steve outlined for us. And then we also asked for their input on the overall recommendations. And so with that background, I'll turn it over to Kurt, who will go over the comments and the responses that were provided by Don and Steve.
Thanks, Lisa. I don't plan on reading the comments or responses, but just to help us to walk through them and then provide a chance for those on the line to add their feedback. And since both Don and Steve are here, I think you've already been very responsive along the way to various kinds of input, but they can hear the additional comments directly. So the first slide shows the comments from Peggy Honore, who actually is with the Department of Health and Human Services that actually is funding this this project. And you can see Don and Steve's responses there. Any comments on this?
Dave?
Yes, and again, that's star one if you have a question or comment. And we do have Peggy Honor. Your line is open.
Hi, Kurt. This is Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
I think these responses adequately address my comments. Thank you.
Okay. Well, unless anyone else has any comments, that was easy, and we can move on to Thomas James' comment that's on that same slide. I guess it actually bleeds over to the next slide as well, I believe.
Yes.
And we have no further questions or comments in queue.
So the question here is really about the definition of health, and there are certainly many definitions of health, and then the concern here looks like it's about going beyond something that's a little bit more functional and a little bit broader.
Can we go to the next page?
I don't know if Thomas James is on the phone and Don and Steve. So you're saying essentially you're functionally using this kind of definition. Do you feel a need to tie into this and then other definitions, or does that feel beyond the scope of the paper? It certainly is an important framework for the papers, what people's definition of health is.
Correct, and thank you, Kurt, and actually thanks to everyone for comments. I mean, I guess in some ways we were gratified there weren't a whole lot more, but the ones we got were very, very cogent, particularly I actually want to thank Peggy explicitly because she did help clarify a number of things and helped us with some of the detail. But in terms of the definition of health, it was not in our charge, but we do largely use the WHO classification in how we think about things. In fact, I think this is one of the challenges we face in bridging the clinical population health divide. In terms of how broadly these different populations think of, or different groups think about that issue. And one of our suggestions was that we actually put that in a footnote to be clear and recognize it explicitly, but not necessarily to include it in the paper. We had said as an alternative we could have added a line with the definition of health as defined sort of broadly within public health and within clinical medicine, but that seems to be a whole project unto itself since we obviously have a large range of them. So our proposal was probably to just include it as a footnote since that's the framework that we were actually using. So it would be helpful to find out from the committee if that's acceptable.
Any comments from anyone on the call?
Again, star one if you have a comment.
Kurt, this is Bobby Pestrant. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Actually, it's a little, I think that the World Health definition is close to where we started in the original conversation. It actually is reasonably consistent with the approach that we were trying to take to understand that there were both multiple determinants for population health and that metrics that go beyond the clinical domain were certainly ones that we were interested in receiving and ultimately interested in having in being used by both those in the public, those who are interested in public health, and those who are interested in clinical health, and to somehow make prominent the congruence between our thinking about population health and the metrics needed to understand what that is, and the broader definition in that the World Health Organization provides, I think it's important to do.
Mm-hmm. Right, so people look at this report with a mindset that's really about health care, they would certainly misinterpret things. I mean, it does explicitly state that several places in the paper, but it's a good point.
It's Matt Stiefel. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is back to the models. One of the concerns I had with the existing set of models, partly what drove me to create one, was the lack of exposition or clarity about what health is. I mean, the models do a good job of distinguishing between determinants and outcomes and improvement activities, but few of them get further into what we mean by health. And that, you know, and that's why I tried to clarify in mind that the distinctions between sort of measures of physiology of disease and injury as kind of intermediate outcomes of self-perceived health and function, mortality, and then quality of life as the sort of the spectrum of measures of health that we're talking about. They don't, so one way of addressing this is through the models that are presented, but unfortunately the models that are included don't go into much depth about what we mean by health. So it does seem to be a bit of a gap.
So if this is addressed, and this is something that should be addressed early on in this framework of the paper, and Matt, does the WHO definition work for you?
No. It doesn't make the distinction. I mean, it is a broader definition, and it is a broad definition. It doesn't really distinguish between the measures of health that are, in fact, and in the health system, we tend to fall back on those things that, you know, we can, that are, quote, objective, that tend to go back into physiology or disease status. But I think it's important at least to note somewhere that health, measures of health cover a spectrum from physiology to disease to self-perceived health and function, death, quality of life kinds of measures. And WHO doesn't capture that, I don't think.
Yep. The Ottawa Charter, I'll just quote that, it defines health as a resource for everyday life, not the object of living. It's a positive concept emphasizing social and personal resources as well as physical capabilities. I mean, there certainly are a lot of definitions out there. Don and Steve, do you have a sense of how you might include these comments? It doesn't sound like this is a big addition, but it's an important upfront framing thing just for people who might approach this paper with a narrower definition and therefore might misinterpret things. Do you get something from this that's helpful in doing a tweak in the upfront framing?
Well, this is Steve, and I think Don is on the call, so that's good. And she can chime in. You know, I think it's fine for us to include something like that. I'd be really interested in the NQF perspective because I know they're wrestling with audiences that may have maybe challenged by all of this. And so how we, you know, simply cite them, and certainly as Matt said, those are very reasonable. We have many of these broad definitions that we could, you know, summarize briefly. But somehow we got to bring all parties along. So perhaps a little feedback from our NQF colleagues would be helpful.
Yeah, this is Helen. I'm happy to take a first crack at that. So I think these are all really good points around the issue. Shows the value of consensus. I think I do tend to agree with Steve that I think there is a group who needs to walk before they can run here. So I think it would be great if some of these other models could be cited, but I think we need to perhaps describe, you know, this in this paper. I think that's probably the best approach for now.
So, Helen, when you say that, do you mean sort of having it on the table, adding a little footnote about some of these? Right. How would you like to see it done?
I think we can leave it up to you guys. I think probably a little bit more than a footnote, but I don't think that it, you know, I think it should be mentioned, but I don't know that we need to go beyond that.
This is Bobby. There are some, and I don't want to make it more difficult than it needs to be, but for example, I was looking at Table 2 and maybe even Table 1 on pages 22 and 21. Respectively, there may be opportunities to add another example or another bullet point or another number. For instance, in either of the concept domain row or the health outcome row or ultimate slash final or health outcome intermediate. And I have to go back and look carefully at other places in the paper where examples are given. That may also, along with footnotes and a reference, be an opportunity to interject this broader frame that we've been grappling with without losing the important audience that we hope will pay attention to these and will make use of them. Going forward.
Bobby, could you be a little bit more explicit? I'm looking at those tables. This is Steve again. What is it you would add to those? Because I would think that those tables actually do encompass a broader definition, and I'm not sure I understand what you would add.
Well, I was looking back at that Tom's comments from Humana, looking at incorporating the definition of health in relation to physical, mental, and complete physical, mental, and social well-being. And the question is whether there are examples in Table 2 that would be suggestive of all of those domains, physical, mental, and social well-being, to suggest to those who would read the footnote about the World Health Organization definition or the Ottawa Charter definition that's in part what the committee had in mind or what NQF has in mind.
Okay, so you're asking for somewhat of an elaboration of whether it's here under healthy life expectancy, healthy mental health days, things like that? You want us to expand on those? I guess what I'm getting at, our intent was to include those concepts, but they're obviously not resonating with you or some of the, or with and Thomas James either.
So, for example, those three, life expectancy or healthy life expectancy or even years of potential life lost or healthy days, that whole category might relate to social well-being or personal well-being?
Sure, because if one looks at the quality, what goes into a healthy life year, it, of course, uses a quality of life measure, and most of those have multiple domains about social role functioning, you know, all in addition to, you know, mental well-being, physical well-being, things like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but, you know, that was... for the people who sort of know those fields, I don't know that it necessarily came through some of that. And that's, you know, this is where we could probably add a footnote that sort of talks about those domains so that it's clear they're there.
Yeah.
And pardon, this is David, the operator. We do have a comment or question from Sue Pickens.
This is Sue. Hello.
Your line is open.
This is Sue.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. I just sent a text, actually, to everyone. It seems to me that on page 9 and 10, you're beginning to talk about defining population health, determinants of health, and health improvement activities, and that your very first recommendation is, your very first paragraph discusses that there are many different concepts as maybe that's where you begin to talk about all the various different concepts of definitions of population health. Does that make sense?
Yeah, or interestingly enough, this is Bobby again. That is almost recommendation, if you will, zero.
Right.
Which is to define health to begin with. And then the concept, the defining population health is the next step after one knows what health is meant to be.
This is Dawn. Folks, hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm seeing all of you, and I appreciate the challenges you put forth. It's exactly what I was doing when I was reading through numerous textbooks and deciding if I was, you know, how to best include the, you know, the various definitions of health, quality of life, even public health for that matter, and. What it became was, is this paper going to be about really taking on the challenges of defining these things, which really, you know, experts and academicians across the country really haven't come to agreement on. When I was in D.C. working on healthy people, I was put in charge of writing and looking at how we should measure quality of life. And if you look at the mid-course review for healthy people, a lot of the results of those conversations are published in that report. And it was challenging then. I don't know if we've really agreed as a nation, like whatever specialty we're in, sort of how we measure and discuss those things. So I would go back and forth, actually. I would add them back to the table, the definitions table, and I would take them off because it really was quite difficult to even precisely put the varied definitions in a table or to discuss in a brief commission paper. So I appreciate you acknowledging that sort of challenge. What I'm hoping is that we could at least decide that something similar to the World Health Organization definition can at least be maybe not a recommendation, but at least put in the introductory and somewhere in that table in the appendix, that we do mean health to mean more than physical. It's the whole package. I'd even add spiritual to that list. Some definitions have that, some don't. So I don't know. It's really how you want to go about it, just knowing that to sort of revisit some of these definitions would really take quite a bit of extra effort at this point to try to integrate into the paper. And I'm sensitive sort of to timing of that issue, but I am hoping that we could sort of coalesce around at least something similar to the WHO definition.
Yep. It's Matt Stiefel. I agree with that, and I have a specific suggestion. First, agreeing to include the WHO definition. Table 2. I think is a quite important table because I think people will refer to it when coming up with measures. So I think it's important to get that right, and I do think that it actually sheds a lot of light. A couple of specific suggestions, though, for Table 2, and that's that the first one is that under intermediate health outcomes, I would definitely move the rates of access to preventive services down to determinants of health under health services. I don't think it fits there. Those are health services as opposed to intermediate outcomes. Second suggestion is to take the health status and health-related quality of life under health outcomes, ultimate final, and move that up into the top box. Under health status, that is literally the name of the top box, and I think that fits there more appropriately. And then I think that it works pretty well with those changes that you've got.
there is this an issue, I think, about risky behaviors. It's actually quite important for this call for measures, diet, physical activity, tobacco use, and alcohol and drug use. If we're calling that a measure of health or determinant of health, I believe it's more of a determinant of health and behavioral determinant, and would fit under the behavioral determinant. In fact, that's where it's listed, and not as a measure of health. But then you'd have basically the under health outcomes, you might even combine those two boxes to have the physiologic measures, mortality, morbidity, and natality, as your health outcome measures. The determinants would include the behavioral measures, and then in the top box would be continue to be what you have with health status and health-related quality of life.
Don and Steve, Matt's suggestion is consistent with my understanding of how the committee's looking at this as well. Is that something that you think you can work with?
Steve, I'll jump in here, and maybe you can comment as well. Table 2, when you look at an environmental scan of how people organize determinants and measure them, this is what it is. So this is really just meant to be a scan. I'm still not sure what our definition of health is based on rearranging the table, whether it's the WHO or another one. But what I really hope can happen is that the committee would take what the scan shows in the paper and make those types of decisions for how you choose your measures. I'm reluctant at this point to change a fairly standardized way of how all public health reports in the country are written as part of the scan. If the committee wants to do that to select their measures, I think that would be great. And Helen and Steve, I don't know what your take is on that.
I think you're actually getting to an important point, Don, and that is that part of our task was to pull together some information and then provide it to the committee. And clearly the committee has important work to do to bring better order to it all. I think that, you know, in some sense that's the same issue as we have with Matt's model. You know, wasn't part of the literature, but it was in a and what we tried to do is to look at models for indicators that relate to indicators, but in some ways, as we've already discussed, you know, each of them has some pros and cons. And then the committee has looked at Matt's model and others to as a way to sort of bring its own coherence to all of this. So, you know, I guess my inclination would be to explain some of those issues here, so it's a little clearer, rather than to come up with a you know, sort of here's what we think the right way to do it is.
Yeah, and this is Helen. I think that's a very reasonable approach. They were really, you know, to give input to the committee. But I think if the committee feels like they need to make a, you know, final determination going forward, that should be from the committee rather than the paper writers. I think that's a fine approach.
Yeah, it's a point very well taken. This is Matt. That, you know, I don't want to distort the review of the literature here. At the same time, we have an issue about there is overt duplication of items in this table in different categories. And so it may be a question for the committee of do we do some kind of synthesis to say, and here's what we think ought to go into these categories. And I think it's very close to here. It's just some minor modifications to put things where I believe that they would fit more appropriately. So that's a normative judgment, but I think it's one that is in the purview of the committee.
You know, and to that end, I think we can add a footnote to say, you know, we recognize there's duplication here. This may not be is not really necessarily the most parsimonious, but this really, as Don said, reflects the way it's we found the information currently as it's currently being used, so that we can at least acknowledge that in here.
Right, and being sort of a performance measurement expert in public health after doing that for 10 years, there is ways that we use proxy measures, there is definite overlap, which is a challenge really with any of the models that are out there. It just happens.
The other simple change that could be made in Table 2 is to reference these as examples of indicators, since these probably aren't all of the ones that Don, you and Steve came across, and that leaves open the construction of or elaboration of other indicators, both by the NQF, by the committee, and by others.
You know, and it's Matt again, just to push back a little bit to Don's point about you're only reporting here. In fact, there are a number of conclusions and recommendations in this paper. So it doesn't seem outside the bounds of the paper to make a comment. Here's what we found in the literature, and here's what we might recommend based on this, and including, for example, rates of access to preventive services doesn't seem to fit under a definition of intermediate health outcomes. Seems like not a fair observation to make, even from the paper.
Right, and Matt,
writers.
I would love to have a conversation with you about that. When you look at how the healthcare system measures things, a lot of times that is their impact or intermediate outcome because they're not measuring total population health outcomes. So it's really there to show a representative example of sort of what a healthcare system might put in that box. Does that make sense?
But don't we want to, again, normatively move toward calling that a determinant rather than an outcome? And it's germane to this call for measures.
Again, I would love to talk with you about it, when we have maybe an hour or so, or maybe a couple hours. But it actually is sort of what's being used right now in the healthcare system. I mean, and this is a scan to show what's out there. And so I feel it's fine there, whether the committee agrees to, work with NQF to put that measure in that category later is fine. But to me, it's a pretty standard way that sort of a proxy for disease. It's a proxy measure that a lot of people use.
So Don, I think what you're saying, if I hear this right, is, in public health, we've moved to this determinants of health model that's at the bottom that I think we're all, everybody on this call, is pretty comfortable with. But in fact, that's not the model that's used in the clinical care world very much. And in fact, they tend to look at it in terms of ultimate and intermediate health outcomes. So what we've actually got here is a reflection of two different worldviews that we haven't really tried to consolidate. And perhaps we could say something to that effect, because as Matt rightly points out, almost everything in that intermediate outcomes box you could place in the determinants of health box. Virtually everything in the health outcomes and health status you could somehow combine together as important health outcomes. So some of this is a reflection of the way different groups see the world, as opposed to a way that that I think is the challenge for this group, to come up to a consolidated approach that is going to meet the needs and serve the understanding of both the clinical and the population health communities.
And this is Kurt. I think that, Don, you talked about these intermediate health outcomes as being the way the healthcare system would use those terms, and I think that's true. But the title of the table doesn't talk about the healthcare system view. It talks about population health and the determinants of health. So it is it is prone to misinterpretation. So at least, you know, rearranging it, footnoting it, explaining it. I mean, I think this whole conversation has talked about what the purpose of this paper is, and it's not the, you know, it's not the absolute. Certainly it's not the call for measures. It's a resource that will be used by those developing measures who are proposing them. It's a resource for the committee in making recommendations about that. And I think Matt's concern is just how this resource might be used.
But, and it's Matt, and sort of as a representative here from the healthcare system, we clearly subscribe to the approach of distinguishing between determinants of outcomes. And I do think that by NQF engaging in this exercise of a call for population health measures, I think there is an intent to move the healthcare system to think in the frame of determinants and outcomes, and not respond to this call for population health measures with a bunch of preventive services measures. I think if that happens, that will not be consistent with the intent, at least my understanding of the intent.
This is Bobby. I think that's very well said. And the other place where some clarity, where something else could be added to provide that clarity is really on page 24 in the section that's headed Recommendations, Framework for Assessing and Measuring. That's where an editorial comment could be added, I think, since there is no agreed-upon assessment. Here's what might be important for the reader to understand. And then even within Recommendation 6, these points could be made as well.
Don and Steve, do you have a way of proceeding after this discussion?
So I guess my take on Table 2 would be that it needs to have a little bit more explication. Probably the title, we can work on the title, and probably need some footnotes to explain some of the different aspects of this so that it is clearer. I haven't gone back to look at the two recommendations that Bobby just talked about to see what could be done there, but that's really the challenge. I mean, if you'd ask us sitting as population health people, probably we would all move to a determinants of health model that makes sense as, you know, and I guess we could say that a bit explicitly in our recommendations. If I don't know if Don's comfortable with that, but I would be.
Yeah, no, I think I'll revisit the titles of really all the tables. One thing that we can make clear is if you look at the title of Table 2, these examples are pulled from both clinical care system and public health system indicator reports. So it's really meant for me to try to integrate what I saw were the leading types of indicators and measures and then try to put them into something that's more of a measurement framework based more on what the government public health system does as far as describing those, although sometimes clinical care system uses that as well. But that what cues you into that it's an integrated set of measures is that from a representative subset of indicator reports. And I think we could explain that better or try to, you know, especially for folks who are just scanning tables rather than reading text. And then I still want to bring it back, though, just to be sure if the committee is okay with putting forth somewhere or at least a couple of times in the paper that we're using the World Health Organization definition or the concept of it, that it's more than just physical health. If we can put that in the table in the appendix and a couple of times in the text.
Martin, this is David, the operator. We do have a question or a comment on the line. Ron Bylick, your line is open.
Hello. I wasn't going to respond to that exact question, Don, but yes, I agree that it's fine to use that definition. A general comment I wanted to make is, I think this paper really does a fine job of moving the discussion forward and that the paper is not going to be the answer to all of our questions and our way to encourage individuals to submit population measures or nominate population measures. And I think the paper can provide us with some good background as we reach out to organizations to try to get organizations to nominate measures. And that's, I mean, that's how I intend to use it. And for the folks who I've been approaching, you know, they understand the population piece. And so I think this won't answer everything, and I think Don and Steve have really done a superb job on it. I'm sort of feeling like we could talk this through for many more occasions, and I'd sort of like to get it final and begin using it.
And in the end, the paper is advisory to the committee, and it is Don and Steve's names at the top of the paper. So I think you're hearing some advice, and you're hearing some concern about how the paper might be used. And so I think we're asking you to really take that into account in how you frame things and help people to make sense of things, particularly in the instance where health care measures are being portrayed as health measures.
Kurt, I definitely agree with that. And Elisa, you and I have had some conversations. I felt that this is really the first paper that's attempting to do these types of integrations. And I really wanted it to be coherent and at least get a few central messages across. And I'm sure Steve, you would say the same. But if this can just be seen as moving the discourse toward a more integrated discussion. I just read another issue of Health Affairs, and I'm seeing the clinical care system use population health in a very different way. And if this can be, you know, the first, maybe not first, but, you know, a set of first papers that gets to a common language and shows some of the challenges, exactly what we're talking about today, about when you try to put a measurement framework and measurement science on top of public health frameworks and environmental health frameworks and clinical care frameworks. I mean, it becomes a very, very complex process. And so my hope is that this at least lays the groundwork for some clarity, despite some of our discussions today, and really start reporting things jointly and really being able to have a community health improvement plan that really shows the different activities that happen with leadership in different areas. So I do see this more as a starting point, as I, you know, don't really see a lot of these types of integrative measurement tables and discussions occurring. So yeah, I really think that this is helpful.
Does everyone who wishes to speak on this issue feel heard? I mean, is it time to move on to the next comments, or does anyone have anything they'd like to say on this topic?
We have no further questions or comments in the queue.
Lisa, maybe we should move on to the next set of comments.
Yes. Kristen?
So these comments from Lewis Marcus, certainly Donna Steve interpret them as not requiring a lot of revision, but really more explanation. Are there any additional comments on the two comments we have on the screen now?
It's Matt. I agree with the responses.
This is just Dawn. If I can just plug the whole field of public health systems and services research, I think these two comments call for research in this area. And I know at least one comment said that we should mention the need for research in our paper, and I think that might have been outside of the comments here, but I would encourage anybody on the committee to really take this on as a research area and study it.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, Kristen, if we could have the next slide, please. Again, any additional comments on this? It's kind of admiring the problem, kind of important comment, but not really calling for changes as far as I see.
Back to each of these comments, in some respect, this is Bobby, reflects back on the conversation we just had.
Right.
Which has to do with what domains or concepts is NQF seeking indicators or metrics, because the notion at the bottom of Thomas's comment, which is that we do have some rudiments of this larger approach with police and fire trained wellness programs and worksite and health education in schools, is still reflecting the clinical approach to population health and clinical metrics for population health, and disregarding the determinants of health approach, if you will, which is really where I think a lot of the discussion, a lot of the committee's discussion has been focused.
And really, though, that earlier discussion really doesn't discount the clinical determinants, but asks for that to be put in the context of one of multiple determinants of health.
Yeah.
Any other comments on this before we move on to the next slide? So, Thomas James, again, this reiterates the discussion about the WHO definition of health. And then there's certainly the second point of is really about the just adding up the individual measures of health doesn't necessarily lead to population health. Any comment on that, or the call for more specifics by Lois Marcus?
Kurt, I don't have a question or a comment about any of the remaining comments that were submitted. I wondered about the conclusion on page 23, that the clinical care system has made greater progress in this area of health improvement activities, when the literature that Dawn and Steve reviewed, which produced the indicator sets, or measures, indicators or measures that are shown on the table, are equally public health or population health based. I just wondered about that conclusion.
Bobby, which conclusion? What page are you on? This is Dawn.
On page 23, and as it printed out on my printer here, it's a section that's headed in italics, clinical care system measurement of health improvement activities. And the first sentence of that says the clinical care system clinical care system for various reasons has made greater progress in this area, which I assume is the area of measurements of health improvement activities. And yet there's a long list of population health metrics that have been developed over time and that do get measured regularly.
Right, and I guess what I'm, and we do go in to talk about those.
Yeah.
At the right below that, the government public health system measurement of health improvement activities.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to compare there is if like a local health department is trying to do, really understand how they do regulatory inspections, like restaurant inspections. You know, metric development on that is really, you know, really early at this point. We don't really have a standardized way of even measuring restaurant inspections across local health departments. Whereas the clinical care system with their, you know, patient safety, clinic utilization, hospital discharges, it's just much more robust because they've had a lot more money in development of data sets to do that. So I was trying to sort of tease out that difference.
Uh-huh.
Population health outcomes, definitely. I mean, we have, you know, that's all, the BRFIS, the NHIS, the NHANES. I mean, you know, we have a lot of total population health measures. We don't have performance health improvement measures.
It's Matt Stiefel. I have a comment on it. It's related to a comment that I made on the paper. I don't know that it got submitted or incorporated, but it is the distinction between health improvement activities and population health improvement activities. And my recommendation was to use the term population health improvement activities as opposed to health improvement activities. The concern I have about health improvement activities is a concern that I mentioned on an early call, that where do you draw the line between you know, cardiac surgeries and the sort of the broader population health improvement activities? And certainly the healthcare system has a leg up on those health improvement activities that have to do with clinical care. But I don't think that's in the frame of this paper or call for population health measures. And I think we're talking more about the broader notion of population health improvement activities as opposed to health improvement activities.
Right. And this is Dawn. I would harken back to how we're the first section of the paper, which is really trying to change the way we talk about that, because population health, I don't think we can use that term anymore because it has multiple meanings. I think it's total population health, and then, you know, these systems, these subpopulations that work toward health. What I was trying to lay out really in those definitions is that by the time you get to page 23, it's clear that health improvement activities could be a tobacco policy passed by a health department, or it could be making sure that someone who's had a bypass surgery is given the appropriate smoking cessation. You know, so that's all clinical. You know, so it's really the synergistic health improvement activities. Health is really used to mean both, because right now we don't really have a clear way to talk about these different populations. So I really am reluctant just to start using population health as a term. But these health improvement activities really span anything you would do in any of these systems.
But so is your definition intended to include the bypass surgery itself or just the smoking cessation advice after the bypass surgery?
To me, that's the health determinant. People should get safe, effective, timely care if they need it. So if they need a CABG urgently, it should happen, and it should happen to the best quality we can. That's a health improvement set of measures. Then there's the prevention things upstream that a clinical care system might define a certain way, and a health department might define differently, and it might be more of what I believe you're using the term as population health activity, like a policy or a tobacco quit line. You know, but all of that together would mean that we have fewer people having, you know, treatment aside, but having heart attacks and requiring those healthcare services. But again, Matt, I would love, are you in California? I would love to just get together and just talk about this for a while.
Happy to do that, yeah.
There might be a point about that specific sentence, and we don't have time to go through every sentence, but that, you know, greater progress than what and what's the area, it certainly is open to misinterpretation.
But by the time you get down to table, oh boy, where is it? Well, our examples of like the IOM report, which already did an illustrative example. This is page 31, Matt, and then 32. It's really trying to then put the different types of measures. That's what that table gets to, is then integrating all those measures concurrently together in a table.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon the interruption. This is David, the operator. All lines are open. We do have a few comments and questions.
This is Sue Pickens. I was just, you know, looking through, and almost all the recommendations you have talk about total population health. So to eliminate it from that one little paragraph there, I just think maybe a clarifying comment that says the clinical system has done a greater progress in the area of health improvement activities, not necessarily population health activities. Just some little clarification there to go with the whole theme of the paper.
Other comments? Looks like we have a mayor, maybe.
Hi, this is Amir Kasim from ACP. First, Steve and Don, you guys did a very good job. I really enjoyed reading this paper. It's more of a general comment. I had some little comments throughout, but for some reason you guys couldn't hear me. But the general comment I have is regarding the recommendations. I was just wondering if there's a way to sort of make them a little bit shorter and more to the point. I felt like that we were sort of losing the message, because this is the major portion that everyone will be reading, rather than I'm sure people will be reading the rest of the paper as well, not saying that, but the recommendations are the key one. But I felt like that we were losing the message a little bit. It was too many words that were being used. So my suggestion would be to rephrase them a little bit and be a little bit more concise.
And these are for all the recommendations?
Yes. I mean, especially the recommendations piece. I felt like when I went over the recommendations that they were not really recommendations. Sometimes you were getting into the logic and the rationale as well. And even when you were making a recommendation, I felt like it was definitely wordy. And I think we need to be cut down a few words and then definitely make a clear recommendation that what you're recommending. Sometimes I felt like it was not as clear as it could be. And that goes for pretty much all the recommendations.
I mean, so these are just our thoughts, obviously, on in terms of the recommendations. I don't know what the committee is going to be doing by way of a report or NQF with any of this. I tend to agree with the reviewer that the pithier the better, but I'm not sure these are our thoughts, but what's going to happen to these recommendations? Is the committee going to mold them? NQF going to adopt some? Maybe that's the point at which they get tightened up.
I would take that as a question for Helen or Lisa.
Yeah, I was starting to talk. I was expecting that one. This is Helen. It's actually an excellent question, and at times we have used commission papers in different ways, so I don't think there's a clear answer for every project. I think in the case of this paper, my sense is the paper was intended to give guidance to the committee and the broader community about some of these key issues in population health as we embark on our first project to bring in measures of population health. So I think it was intended to be more informative. I do think there's an opportunity for the committee to emphasize or state specifically any specific recommendations from the committee as part of the draft report that will flow forward along with phase two on the measures, which will also, of course, include the commission paper. So I think we can kind of do it both ways. I think, Don and Steve should incorporate what makes logical sense based on this discussion, but there may be some areas where it really does come down to a committee recommendation, and that we can put in the report.
So Helen, this is Amir. So just a clarification thing, because it does say overall list of recommendations. So what you're saying is these are essentially the recommendations just from Steve and Don, but not the recommendations from NQF?
Well, I think that's part of this whole exercise of looking at the comments that came in, having the committee discuss it. I think at the end of the day, it would be ideal if, in fact, the commission paper completely matched what the committee is thinking. I think in some of these areas, it sounds like some of your perspectives on these issues are very dependent on where you sit. And so I think I see this as a very useful input. I think it should come from the committee. Ultimately, it will be, a paper that will flow through the endorsement process as well, will be from NQF. But I think that if there are specific recommendations that the committee wants to make above and beyond this, that can be included as part of the second phase report.
So to that end, I would suggest a couple things. One is clarify that these are the recommendations that Don and I have, not suggest that those are the committee recommendations. And the other might be to give them little titles so the subject is clear, and that will, and then that hopefully will get people to focus in on what the topic is and get to the ones that are germane to them.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Steve.
Yeah. And it's Matt Stiefel. I agree with that, and addresses one of the concerns that I also raised. While I agree with the direction about making recommendations about population health improvement activities, that wasn't really the scope of our charge in developing, the committee's charge in developing the call for measures. Ultimately, it's of course where we want to go, but if it makes a difference if this is characterized as the recommendations from the committee versus the recommendations from the authors of the report, and I guess I agree with the two-stage process.
Yeah, and just to be clear, we never... Don and I never really anticipated, to be honest, the level of interaction that we've had. We thought we were writing largely a background white paper.
Yeah.
And clearly the committee has had a lot more input than we had originally anticipated, and excellent input, so we appreciate that. But I think it's still largely a paper that informs yours and others' decisions,
exactly.
not meant to fully reflect the committee's conclusions.
Yep. I think that makes sense.
Any other comments? Elisa, looks like we're over to you for next steps.
Thank you very much, Kurt, and thank you everyone for the discussion today. This will be very brief. For their next steps, what Don and Steve will do, they mentioned it earlier, is to look at the feedback that you've provided to them and see what they will put into the paper. We're hoping that I'll speak with Don and Steve after this and see about a timeline. We hope we can get something to you, a final look at the paper before we post it as a final paper. And we're hoping to post it during the week of April 23rd. And so in the next 2 weeks, you'll be hearing from me with the final paper, just your final thoughts on that before we post it as the commission paper on population health. And I just wanted to remind you that the call for measures is up. It was posted last week on April 2nd. It will remain open for the next couple of weeks. We close it on May 1st, and so thank you very much. I've heard from several people on the committee that you are distributing the call for measures and telling people about the project and about the opportunity to submit to this project, and I encourage you to continue to do that. And I think that's it from my end. Kurt, I don't know if you had anything.
Nope.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much, and I'll be in touch online.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks a lot to Don and Steve for all your work on this.
Thanks to all of you. We really appreciate all the input and discussion.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation.